Blog Talk Radio.
Guys, hey, welcome to God Encounters today, especially our Blog Talk Radio listeners that are just coming online. How are you guys doing today? Praise God. Good to have all y'all with us and our Facebook family as well. Fabulous Friday here in Dallas, Texas. A little on the chilly side, but we'll take it. And I'm ready to be done with summer. Hey, Brother Jeff, good to see y'all. God bless y'all. Thanks for tuning in to God Encounters today. Y'all share the program. As always, we're going to be just encouraging people, lifting people up, praying with folks, sharing the Word of God, sharing testimonies, and just allowing the Holy Spirit to do whatever He desires to do today. Amen. Praise Amen. God. Today, again, we have our good friends, Nate and Meg, in the studio with us. Y'all give a shout.
Hello.
And today, one of the things that we're going to be talking about is the power of forgiveness in marriage.
Amen.
And, of course, this can apply to any area of life, so it's not just about marriage, but certainly we're going to include that. Maybe share some testimonies along that line specifically. And, yeah, you guys share the program so that other people can hear the message today and be encouraged and be lifted up and be blessed. And I just want to say this right off the bat, you know, this morning as I was praying and just seeking the Lord, aside from this topic, I just was like, you know, Lord, what's something specific that you want me to share today with those that are going to be listening? And here's a scripture that he gave me, and it's found in Isaiah 55. So I just want to speak this to, regardless of, you know, where you're at today, regardless of what you're going through, what challenges you may face and whatnot, just call on the Lord today. And this scripture says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord. And that's really what I felt like God was saying to me this morning, is just encourage people to return to me. Encourage people to call on me. The rest of that verse says, and when we do that, when we call on him, when we return to him, he will abundantly pardon. And we know that's a message throughout the entire Bible. He's always, you know, calling us to just come to him, return to him, trust in him, surrender to him, so that then he can do what he desires to do in our life to bring the abundant life that Jesus paid the price for us to have in a personal relationship with him. So I just want to encourage you in that today. Hey, Angela, God bless you, sister. Well, let's open up. We'll have a word of prayer and get the program kicked off here, and then we'll jump in. And so you guys take this moment to get your Bibles out, get your pen, your tablets, whatever you want to take notes on, because as I encourage you guys often that, you know, the Lord could, you know, share the greatest message today that you've ever heard, but if you're not writing it down, you're not meditating on it or taking it in your prayer closet, it's going to be a good message and then it'll be gone. So take some good notes today. Take them in your prayer closet. Seek the Lord on these topics and allow him to minister to you. And so we're going to have a word of prayer. You guys, one of y'all want to kick us off with just a general prayer?
Okay. Go ahead, prayer warrior.
God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for this opportunity. We just ask that you just use us to tell our testimony and just to also let people know that the way that you do marriage is best, and we're all one and we can all do this if we just put you first like you told us to, God. And by the word of our testimony, we're able to reach others best. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise God. Like we've, I think Pastor Jimmy Evans says that marriage works 100% of the time when we do it God's way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big amen to that. And I just want to give a quick shout out real quick to our Blog Talk Radio listeners. Good to have you guys on online with us and listening on the Blog Talk Radio. And also, of course, all of our Facebook friends and family. Good to see you guys on here. Y'all share the program today so other people can hear it and see and hear from the Lord and be encouraged. I want to thank my beautiful wife, Leslie, as always, kind of working behind the scenes and producing the show and dropping notes in the comments for you guys and information and addresses and scriptures and updates and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, hey, and you guys drop us a note in the comments if you would and just say, hey, we're listening from, you know, wherever, South Carolina or New York or wherever you're watching or listening from today. And also, if you include just, you know, just like a few words, you know, hey, I need healing today. I need restoration in my marriage. Whatever your prayer request is, if you'll drop that in the comments as we go back through the comments later, then we can, you know, see what you guys are in need of prayer on, and we pray with you and agree with you on that. So drop that, drop those in the comments as well. Or if you like, I know some of you ask us occasionally, you know, how can I reach you guys by email? Or maybe, you know, some people say, I want to kind of partner with you guys and sow a gift into your ministry so that y'all can keep doing what you're doing. You can reach us. You can do that via email. And that's cashpope3@gmail.com. And that's cashpope3@gmail.com is the best way to reach us. So God bless you guys. Good to have you back on today for God Encounters. Today we're talking about the supernatural power of forgiveness, and especially in marriage. And let's go ahead and look at our main scripture for today, and that's going to be found in the book of Ephesians, the fourth chapter, and I'm going to read the 32nd verse. And man, there's so much good. So this is probably my favorite book of the entire Bible, and there's so much good stuff in here about our topic today. Especially the fourth and fifth chapters are really good about relationships and about marriage and so forth. But in Ephesians 4:32, it says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So that's what we're talking about today, is in the same way that Christ forgave us. Because, hey, let's all, you know, be real. None of us deserve God's forgiveness. None of us were, you know, really worthy of his unconditional love, and the fact that he just chose, because of his great love, not because we deserved it, to forgive us of all sin, to cleanse us, to bring us back into a relationship with our Heavenly Father. None of us deserve that. Just by the same way, you know, a lot of times we say, well, they don't deserve forgiveness. You know, they did this to me, they did that, they don't deserve forgiveness. And like I said, none of us did, but God chose, and we'll look at some other scriptures later, but God chose, even while we were still sinners, to totally and completely pardon us and forgive us of all sin, even though we didn't deserve it. And then he says, now give that same, you freely you have received forgiveness, now freely give that same forgiveness to others. So we're going to be talking about that today, because that's a powerful principle. It's a tough one sometimes to walk out and to get to that place. But once we do, it brings such freedom to our lives, and whether it's marriage or otherwise, or any other relationships. So, but right now, today, we're going to kick off the program with Brother Nate and Meg sharing some of their testimony. And we didn't really talk about this as much. You know, sometimes we talk about the program quite a bit before we actually do it. But today I just really wanted to be, I didn't want to over talk it too much prior to the program. I really just wanted them to be led by the Spirit. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of left that wide open for you guys today to, obviously in light of our topic. But I wanted to, you know, talk about some of the tough stuff, some of the real messy, tough stuff that we go through in marriage, because, you know, like a famous song says, it's not always rainbows and butterflies by any means. You know, marriage can be tough sometimes. It can be something that we have to really fight for, to hang on to, something that really requires us to lay ourselves down, just like Jesus laid himself down for us. It takes, you know, forgiveness that we can't walk out by ourselves. We have to have the grace of God at work in our lives in order to help us, you know, walk it out. And
just on that, what you were just saying about we lay ourselves down like Jesus did for us.
Absolutely.
You know, I wish before I went into marriage that I had that perspective and understood that I was making a covenant with this one person.
Yes.
And that was my no to everyone else.
That's right.
And that was my no to anything that would ever try to interfere with this.
Absolutely.
And that I would daily have to wake up
every day
and make that decision that I'm laying my life down for the greater good of this person.
Absolutely.
Because that's what Jesus did. So just if anyone's not married yet, or you're in a marriage and you're struggling, just look at that mindset of how much love did Jesus show us? Because that's the same amount of love that we need to show each other in marriage.
Absolutely. 100% right there. So if y'all need to back that up and listen to that again, that was a really good word right there and a nugget. So true. And it's so much more than, you know, we've all heard this. Oh, you know, it's just a piece of paper. But it's so much more than that. If that's our idea of marriage, we don't really get it. He hit the nail on the head. It's a covenant relationship. And in covenant relationship, you know, we could do a whole teaching on covenant relationship, but we don't have time for that today. But it is truly a laying down of ourselves and becoming one with that person.
Amen.
And it's, you know, it's a holy thing before God. It's a really serious thing before God to enter into that covenant relationship. And we must, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about today guarding that relationship and not giving any opportunity to the enemy to come in and try to, you know, destroy that covenant, because that's one of his number one priorities, is to destroy marriages. And then, of course, he can destroy whole families, whole households, even whole generations. And so we're going to talk about how we can keep that from happening by basically, like Meg prayed earlier, doing it God's way, not doing it our way, but getting his mind and his heart about what marriage truly is and what forgiveness really looks like and how we walk that out. So we're going to be talking about that. So I don't know which one of you guys want to start, but y'all can determine that. But we're going to let Meg and Nate just kind of start sharing a piece of their story. We'll ask a few questions along the way about, you know, at one point, obviously, in y'all's marriage, things kind of got out of whack and opened up the door for the enemy. And so y'all start wherever you want, and we'll talk about that for a while.
So I guess I'll kind of do a brief nutshell up to kind of the big turning point.
And before y'all even jump into that, like, how long have y'all been married now?
I've been 15 years. Most 15 years, right? Yeah.
Six kiddos?
Six kids.
Seven counting you.
Yeah.
It's biblical.
Yeah.
No, I think, you know, we both came from broken homes, I guess, if you want to call it that way. So we weren't shown exactly what the biblical model for marriage, or what Jesus had in mind when it was created. So we were kind of going into it like most people, I think, just, hey, we really care about each other a lot. We'd had a kid prior to actually becoming married. But even through all of that time, there was a lot of what should have been red flags, you know, in our lives.
Yeah. Before we got started.
Yeah. As far as commitment level and I think last time I was on, I kind of touched on it, but there was a time right after our first child was born where I kind of took off and did whatever I wanted for a short amount of time, including, you know, sleeping with somebody else and drinking, and I was in the, you know, rock and roll lifestyle, so to speak. But, you know, fast forward, we both genuinely believed in God. We both genuinely knew that, you know, His way was best, but I feel like almost like the veil, we never allowed the veil to be totally open into what that really looks like.
Yeah.
So through the years, you know, there was a lot of good times, but there was a lot of really bad times that we could have avoided had we understood what love really looks like.
Yeah.
And, you know, the sacrificial side of that. And, you know, I think we touched on, I dealt with some pornography issues through the years, you know, engaging in online activity, talking to other women, things like that. But, you know, that when you're consistently committing adultery in that manner, you know, over time, it really can do a lot of damage to the other person, especially if they too don't share the same, or they have that same kind of skewed view of what forgiveness looks like and what, you know, love is supposed to look like. So fast forward, you know, 13 and a half years in or so, and I had gone through a 2.5 year depression. Anxiety, depression, they were looking to diagnose me as bipolar, things like that. So I took all of those labels and wore them proudly as, hey, it's not my fault that I'm the way I am, so you can't be mad at me.
Yeah.
Which, you know, just created this selfish, I mean, the amount of selfishness I had coupled with an anger at the whole world around me. Obviously, in our home, that wasn't creating a good environment for a marriage to flourish.
Right.
So, one day we decided we were going to move to Florida, Destin, Florida, just kind of on the drop of a hat, because we were constantly trying to start over.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, man, if you don't fix the problem, it's just following you there.
Yeah. And that's a good word. I want, before you move on, you know, when we're in that place that they're talking about here, I mean, you know, we can try to medicate it, we can try to cover it up, we can try to fix it with, you know, better job, more money, more this, more that, and none of that stuff is going to actually resolve the issues that we have going on, the root causes. In some cases it even makes it worse because, you know, okay, yeah, now I got more money, I got more freedom, I can do more of this, more of that, and you just go deeper into all the things that you just mentioned. So, you know, we got to know that we've got to come to a place that we can't cover up, we can't try to medicate, fix it on our own and do all this stuff. We really got to come to a place and surrender it all to the Lord Jesus Christ. And allow Him to step into the situation. That's the only path to true freedom and restoration, and allowing ourselves, first of all, within our marriage, to become what He designed it to be.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. So we'll go back to that. And so, in retrospect, too, kind of going off what you said, you know, we looked at it as, hey, we're going to move to paradise, and things are going to be so good. But what we actually were doing was allowing the enemy to come in and isolate us. So we left, you know, any sort of church family we had, any sort of friendships, all that stuff that God has in place to help you through hard times, we kind of left it and just isolated ourselves far away from everyone we knew.
Because I feel like what we were doing was, even though we were saved and we went to church, we didn't do what you said. There was no surrender in our life at all. And so we knew God and we were going to church, but we were still like, we're going to do this whole thing the way we want to do it, you know?
Yeah.
And we're still going to chase things that, you know, make us, you know, feel more fulfilled or successful or whatever. But we were never surrendered. So it was just a constant search.
Yeah. We took all the baggage with us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And there, now we're, like I said, we don't have a church family anymore. We don't have And my depression got worse, and my selfishness got worse, and my anger got worse, to the point where one day I just quit my job on the drop of a hat. And I think that was kind of the last straw for her, because she was looking at this as, hey, this is a new season.
Yeah.
And it was the same old stuff.
Yeah.
So unbeknownst to me, we had a mutual coworker, because we both worked at the same place, that, you know, obviously took interest in my beautiful wife here, but saw the opportunity of me not being the man I should have been, in making these decisions. He kind of saw that opportunity to step in and try to initiate something with her. I don't know if you want to take over there.
No, I just, because, again, because I wasn't fully surrendered, and I was just sort of walking the walk but not talking the talk but not walking the walk with God. Yeah. I was not surrendering my life, so all of these years that I was thinking that, you know, oh, I'm a Christian, like I know what I'm doing, all of this stuff, really I was finding my identity in him. And with him being diagnosed with bipolar or whatever, it was very up and down. So if he was doing good, then my life was really good. But if he was not, and he was going off the deep end, I was just nervous, panicky, anxiety, you know, losing my mind. Like, this is horrible. This is not good, because my happiness, my joy, my identity was all found in him and not God. So when he went off the deep end again, I just said, you know, I didn't know who I was. I had stayed home for so many years, and I just said, I don't need you anymore. I have my own job now. Like, I'm completely done. When I didn't have my identity in God and where it should have been, of course, I was like, I'll do it my own way, because I know that's what I need. And
And the enemy knew that. So,
yeah.
You know, and one. Also,
I was going to say, I want to touch on identity she brought up. It's so key. You know, a lot of times, you know, we find ourselves, or we try to find our identity either in our spouse or our career, our accomplishments, whatever, you know, all time, our status. When we try to find our identity in those things, of course, I mean, we never can, really. It's a pseudo, we think we find our identity in those things, but as we walk that out over time, we discover that, you know, this is not where I can really find my identity. Like she was saying, I mean, it all depends on, you know, how our spouse is doing. If we find our identity in our spouse, it all depends on how well they're doing or how well they treat us. That's as well as we're going to do, you know.
And that's not going to look good.
that's not going to work.
Yeah.
But only when we find our true, and I say this almost every week, but that's okay. I'll probably keep saying it every week from now on. We can only find our true identity, our true created value, and our true purpose in Jesus Christ, who he is and what he has already done for us. That's the only way. Everything else is a pseudo pretend at best. You know, it's a counterfeit way of finding identity and value. All of those things that we talk about, whether it's our spouse, job, money, marriage, whatever, status, all that can be taken away in a moment. It's all temporary. It's not where we find our true identity, but only in Christ. So let's kind of fast forward to what I'm going to ask you, Meg. What would you say was kind of the, I know we kind of talked about, you know, all this stuff kind of built up, and then that was the tipping point. But I guess just take us from there. Okay. We're past the tipping point. I'm done now.
Yeah.
What happened after that? As much as you want to share.
Yeah, no. So I just basically said, you know, I've tried everything that, for all these years, I'm done. I'm going to start to, you know, I want to separate, and I'm just going to work and take care of the kids by myself. I began to just sort of hang out with friends, drink, you know, I just started feeling what the world was. I mean, I even had Christians or believers in my life that I thought were believers, you know, and they are, but they would give me advice that I now know was not godly advice, you know, like, I don't know what he expects. This was years in the making, like, you know, this is obviously the natural course of the way things go. And so I just felt so justified with where I was. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, I did start talking to somebody at work, and it was never like a deep emotional connection. It was just, I'm going to do whatever I want to do. Like, I've done it and I even thought it was God's way all of these years. You know, I stuck by my husband's side and I've done all this and it didn't do anything. Yeah. But really, Jesus doesn't say a prayer and your life's going to change. He says surrender.
Yeah.
And so I did not do that. And that was the key. And I did not do that. And so I ended up sleeping with somebody from work. And it just went from somebody I could have never imagined. I could have never saw myself there in a million years, you know, going, it was just complete polar opposite of who I was. And I was completely done, and I came home one day and he was completely different. And I guess while I was at work, he had a moment with Jesus.
A God encounter.
There you go.
Yes, and he completely actually surrendered, like I'm talking about.
I was going to take my life.
Yeah.
And amidst all the voices that I was hearing telling me, yeah, that's what you need to do. Because the wages of sin is death. And I felt like that was the day that they were coming, the enemy was coming to collect.
Yeah.
And I just feel like there was one voice that broke through that said, you've got nothing left. And instead of giving your life away in the form of suicide, why don't you just surrender it to me?
Yeah.
And I knew that was Jesus. So that had happened while she was at work that day. So she came home to a different person. And I'm talking immediately. No more depression, no more anxiety, no bipolar type behavior, immediately.
And of course, I didn't believe it. I was like, like I haven't
we'll
seen
see.
This a thousand times.
Right,
you know?
Right. Yeah.
And it actually made her more angry.
It did. I felt very angry because I was like, why now? Like all these years I waited so patiently and I worked and tried so hard. Why now are you this dream man that I always wanted, you know? And I didn't buy into it.
Yeah, yeah. It's very similar. I found out later.
I did not believe it at all, and I was still done. I was like, I don't care. I would go to work, you know, go with friends or whatever, and I would come home. I worked until midnight, and I would come home at night, and he would have food made for me and worship music playing, and the kids would be asleep, and I was just like, oh, my gosh, like,
hot
get away
bath.
From me.
Yeah,
literally.
I would do that all the time, candles.
And I would be like,
so
oh,
mad
I would be
at
so
me.
Angry. I'm like, get away from me. Like, why are
but
you doing
But it became,
this?
Because I surrendered, though, it wasn't me trying to win my wife back.
He never got sad.
I just became love.
Yeah.
And I just didn't see any other way of living anymore.
Yeah.
And it wasn't me striving and trying. I just wanted to love her the way I should have been, even though I didn't know she was ever going to come back or any of that.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be the father for my kids that I should have been. You know what I mean? It was just a born-again transformation.
So that went on for weeks. And then finally, I don't know, I was getting ready to go with friends again. And, you know, I was in my going-out clothes and getting ready and all this stuff. And he calls. He calls and he's like, just talking to me. And I was like, I'm done. Like, can you let me go? I just wanted to finish doing what I'm doing. And he was just like, he said, it's not just about us. This is about our legacy. And he said something in Jesus' name, or, you know, and something broke literally that moment. He spoke something into the spirit, and whatever was influencing me was lifted. And I instantly was like, I looked down, I looked at myself, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, this is not who I am, this is not what I want. And on the phone still, I told him, I want my marriage, this, we gotta fix this. So he literally spoke that out, and it just broke something in the spirit. So from that moment on, yeah, he came home and you know, we began the journey of
forgiveness.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, it wasn't really confirmed that she had slept with this other person. Officially confirmed. I had my suspicion, things like that. But it was the following sentence after we said, we're going to make this work.
Yeah.
She immediately felt that condemnation. And I was convinced that it had happened. So I'd already spent the time I needed to with Jesus saying, hey, don't let this define her in my eyes. Don't let, you know, make me love. I want to be loved. So for me, it wasn't about this process of, all right, for me, it was like I had already forgiven it, and I had already just known, you know, I want my marriage. I want my family. Right. I want to do this God's way. So for her, I think it was a little bit more of a process of forgiving herself. Which I was glad that God had done in my heart what he had done, so I could be there to help her in that process, as opposed to me needing, you know, my process, her needing her process, and then, you know, and, you know, I understand that's sometimes what has to happen, and praise God, you know, whatever it takes to keep a marriage together, that's what you need to do.
And it wasn't like, you know, honestly, it couldn't, it was amazing. It almost couldn't have went better as far as healing goes for Nate. I mean, there was times throughout over the next year where it would, you know, come up and it would hurt him and he would think about it or whatever. But it honestly, Jesus really did.
Supernatural.
Yeah,
it was supernatural. That's the only way I can describe it.
Yeah.
Really, you know, on that note, I want to say, I mean, when we're talking about forgiveness, whether it's marriage-related or maybe something we endured as a child or some kind of abuse or whatnot, any of that stuff that requires, you know, for us to come to a place of forgiveness, I mean, it really has to be, and that's why, you know, part of the title of this message today is the supernatural power of forgiveness, because it really has to be a supernatural word.
Yeah.
Pretty much near impossible to forgive those who have hurt us just on our own. It's really tough. And in fact, you know, I wanted to say this earlier. I didn't say it, but I'm going to say it now. And I hope you guys are really listening and getting a hold of some of the things we're talking about today, because I can tell you from a couple of different areas. One being that, you know, I've been on this earth for almost 60 years now, and I've just been through a lot, and I've seen a lot, and lived out a lot. Secondly, that being in ministry for almost 30 years, I've also seen a lot, and, you know, seen other people's lives, seen my own life, a lot of people that, you know, I've had the opportunity to just counsel with and pray with, and even friends of ours and things like that. You know, I've seen people with just the most heartbreaking stories that you can imagine of different things that they've been through, the hurt, the pain, the abuse, all of that kind of stuff, some tragic stories. And I've seen, you know, heard them talk about how those things then turned into, you know, anger, resentment, bitterness, hatred that controlled them for many, many years of their lives. But then I've also seen those same people that had, you know, allowed all of that stuff to build, you know, walls around their life, mentally, emotionally, relationships. I've seen those same people when they just, you know, found the courage and the faith somehow to surrender all that junk to Jesus. And they, you know, found that, whatever you want to call it, within them to say those simple words, "I forgive them." I've seen those same people just be miraculously changed like that. And I'm not saying, I have seen people that it happened like that just instantly, like you were talking about for yourself. And sometimes, you know, it's a little bit of a process, but I have seen countless lives changed, is my point, when we choose to receive God's forgiveness in our own life, and then extend that same forgiveness to others. I mean, years and years and years of pain and anger and resentment and just bondage and all kinds of other stuff that stem from that, the different ways that we try to medicate, you know, whether it be alcoholism or drug addiction or, you know, adulterous affairs or whatever the case may be. All that stuff just be broken in a moment by the power of God, His supernatural forgiveness. Because here's what happens: is once we come to that place that we say, "Lord, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but I'm willing, And I'm just going to say it by faith today. I'm going to say I choose to forgive those that hurt me. When we put ourselves in that position, that's when His supernatural power, His supernatural grace, His supernatural ability just comes on us supernaturally and enables us to then walk out that forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to kind of start wrapping up. Maybe just one last thing that y'all want to say about that whole episode and that time that you guys walked through. And then we're going to jump into the Word of God. We're going to share a few scriptures about forgiveness, about talk a little bit more about marriage and how there's some different ways that we can guard our marriage and, you know, protect our marriage and not open the door to the enemy to come in and bring destruction in our marriage. We're going to talk about some of that. So just in closing, what would maybe some advice that you guys would want to give to those that are watching today? They walk through some similar things. You know, maybe, you know, the husband's out there listening today. You know that you haven't been the man of God that you need to be. You haven't been the leader. You haven't been loving your wife the way that Christ loved us and gave Himself for us. You know that today. And you've kind of gotten off track and you've got involved in some either, you know, wrong relationships, pornography, whatever, drug addiction. Or you may be on, you know, Meg's side of the story. And you found yourself, you know, getting off track with the Lord because of, you know, what your spouse has done. So people out there today are listening and they're in the same similar boat. What would your advice be to them, Taz?
My advice, just having walked through it, is just, you know, God wants your marriage to work. And I know that a lot of people say, well, adultery is grounds for a divorce. And I mean, I understand that, but I kind of compare it in my head to how many times have I cheated on God?
Right, exactly.
How many times have I done something He's asked me not to do, even though I've said I commit my life to You in a covenant and I say no to everything else? How many times have I brought those things back in?
Yeah.
And when did He ever walk away from me?
Yeah,
you know?
And how many times have we put, you know, other things
exactly
ahead of Him?
Right. So just to get that heavenly perspective on things and understand that just because somebody was unfaithful doesn't mean that your marriage is over.
Absolutely.
And, you know, seek advice from not just the people around you, but the Holy Spirit's called the Great Counselor for a reason.
Right.
So He will tell you what you need to do, and it's not going to probably be easy, but it's worth it because this is, you know, it wasn't just what I said to her. It wasn't just about us. We have these six kids, and they're going to have kids, and they're going to have kids. And, you know, we could have totally changed the course of everything just by making the wrong decision in that situation.
Right.
So it's your marriage is important. It's a big deal. So just do whatever you got to do to make it work. Change whatever you got to change.
And I'll tell you, I mean, it's on that note, I mean, it all comes down to this, guys. It's all about surrender.
Mm-hmm.
Just personally, you, before not even really talking about the marriage part, but just you personally have to come to a place and say, Lord, I totally surrender whatever I need to do, not what my spouse needs to
right.
do, but whatever I need to do, Lord, to be the person that I need to be, that You created me to be, and to be in a right relationship with You, and to be Christ-like myself.
Yeah.
Show me what I need to do, Lord. I'm willing to do whatever it takes. And when each person is willing to do that, man, anything is possible. And I'm going to tell you guys, maybe some of you know, maybe some of you don't, but, you know, the same story that Meg and Nate are sharing with you today, myself and Leslie have walked through the same thing. It looked completely impossible. We thought it was over. We wanted it to be over. We didn't want to be married anymore. We didn't like each other. All that stuff. I mean, it was super serious. And we were done. But God miraculously stepped in. I mean, very similar to the story that Nate told. Basically, he had a God encounter. I had a God encounter. God opened my eyes to some things. And same thing for Leslie. And, you know, he miraculously made a way and brought us, and really was a total miracle. The way he brought restoration and healing pretty quickly in our situation. Because we were like, God, if you don't do something, we're done. You know, I mean, you got to really do something here. You got to do something big. And he did. But, you know, we were surrendered. That's you know, the one thing that we did right through all that is I was willing to pray that prayer that I encouraged you guys to say to the Lord, just, Lord, whatever I need to do, whatever I need to surrender, show me, you know, and I'm willing to lay everything on the altar here. And that's how God, you know, began the restoration and the miracle in our relationship as well. Well, we're going to shift gears, guys, just for the sake of time here. We want to share a few scriptures with you and just give you some kind of practical advice, if you will. But, I mean, it's spiritual, but it's practical, too. If you hadn't figured that out by now, a lot of the things that we look at, like, oh, you know, this is so spiritual, this is so awesome, you know, this is Holy Ghost. But usually, you know, all of those spiritual revelations and things that we get from the Word that God shows us, there's always a practical side of how we walk that out. And we're going to talk about some of those. So I'm going to let Meg and Nate jump in here and go first. Probably Meg, we'll start with you. But we're asking this question. How can we guard our marriage so that we don't give an open door or legal ground to the enemy? What are some of the ways that we can be intentional each day to keep from, you know, like I said, giving the enemy an opportunity? Before they even answer that, I want to go back real quick to something that I can't remember which one of y'all mentioned it, but I think it was Meg. It said, you know, because of some of the things that Nate was doing or wasn't doing back then, mm-hmm. it opened the door. It put her in a place that now, all of a sudden, she was open to, you know, some situations that came her way that she probably wouldn't have been open to if, and I'm picking on Nate because I can, I mean, we're pretty close, and I would say the same thing about myself. I'll say the same thing happened to me and Leslie, that because I wasn't doing what I was supposed to be doing, it opened the door to the enemy. In my wife's life, that caused her to be open to things that she wouldn't have normally been open to. So that's kind of what we're talking about here. What are some practical things that we do on a daily basis that would guard our relationship and not give any place to the enemy? And what would you say, Meg?
I would definitely say that the main thing that I know now that I wish I would have known was, again, just the surrender and putting God first and making sure that every day He is number one in my life. And
every day.
Getting that intimate time alone with the Lord and just renewing your mind so that you're not, you know, becoming like the world. And that I wish I would have done that better. And that is where I feel the devil really was able to get a foothold. But just having that alone time with God every day and knowing my identity and knowing who I am and what He's done for me, and that He alone is my source of security and peace and joy and just all of that. Because, yes, He definitely was falling short, but as harsh as it sounds, it really shouldn't ever matter
right.
how short He's falling. I should never be hopeless. I should never be so skewed in my identity that I'm seeking out all of these things in the world to make me feel better.
Right.
That's where I was falling short. It shouldn't be based on His identity. It should be based on my own identity. So just constantly renewing my mind every day, being with the Lord all the time, every day, just keeping Him number one.
Amen. A daily, you know, she kept saying that, but it's so important, a daily intimacy with the Lord. Daily surrender is so key. So what would your point be, Nate, on how we can guard our marriage and not give place to the enemy?
For me, one thing that I do is I'm really careful about what I watch, what I listen to, what I read, all of those things are, you know, as I'm taking those in, just like if she gets up in the morning and the first thing she does is read, you know, the Bible and listen to what God's saying and focusing that, well, that's chances are as she goes throughout her day, those are the things that are going to come out.
Right.
Where if I'm sitting around, and I'm not just talking about the pornography or, you know, dirty movies, things like that, those are givens. You don't put those in your mind, but I'm even talking about, like, even in the current climate, for me, one thing I struggled with was politics. I used to spend a lot of time listening to political stuff, watching it.
Yeah.
And I noticed that it would make me more of, I can't think of the word, but I would be more apt to get into arguments as opposed to show love and grace. I felt like I needed to prove my point.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So,
and it just took up a lot of your time.
And it took up a lot of my time. But just being real careful about what I put in, because that is going to directly affect how I interact with my wife, how I interact with my kids. And then obviously if we're talking about, you know, super sinful stuff going in, then that's going to create a whole other mess of issues for me.
Right.
So that I'm really intentional about what I spend my time taking in.
Very important, and especially we talked a little bit about this earlier. It's a whole nother program, but especially in today's world, what he's talking about there, one of the areas is allowing, you know, too much social media interactment and stuff, whether it's, you know, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, all that junk, which I say junk, I mean, some of those things can be used for godly purposes. I know that's what I use Facebook for. Here we are today. Mm-hmm. But we're talking about getting it out of balance and using it in the wrong way and forming relationships and stuff and opening the door to the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
In inappropriate ways.
Sure.
Also, I want to read a scripture on that point that you made about just, you know, exposing ourselves, whether it's things we watch, listen to, things we devote our time to. In Romans 12:2, it says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." It's real hard to get off track when we're doing this right here. When we're allowing ourselves and we're giving ourselves, just like Meg said, we start our day off surrendering to the Lord and spending intimate time with Him, rather than saying, you know, sitting around watching the news for the first hour of our day while we're getting ready for work or whatever. We're filling our mind with God's presence, just
yeah,
with Him,
yeah,
and with His Word. And then, like Nate was saying, you know, be careful what we allow in our eye gates, in our ears, what we spend our time doing, so that we can, you know, stay on track and not give any place to the enemy in that regard. And then for mine, I wrote down one of the number one ways for me to guard our marriage and not give any place to the devil is simply being, and it kind of goes along with, it starts with what Meg said, you know, because first I have to make sure I have that intimate time with the Lord in order for this to happen. But mine was to be simply being Christ-like, being a Christ-like example to my wife in my conduct, in my words, in my attitude, in my responses, not only to her, but other people, to be Christ-like in all of those ways. Is really important, because if that's my focus, is saying, Lord, I want to be like you. Just like in Ephesians, it says, for example, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly beloved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ, or being Christ-like, just like He loved us and gave Himself up as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. So here it's talking about being imitators of our Heavenly Father. Just like our little kids, they imitate us. They're going to say what we do. They're going to do what we do. We're their example. If we let Christ be our example, and we say, Lord, I want to be like you. I want to, in every area, my marriage, the way I act, the way I talk, the way I treat my wife, the way I respond to other people, that's going to not give any place to the enemy. And so just prioritizing time with him. Also in Romans 13, it says, let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and strife and jealousy, but instead, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. So we put on Christ every day. How do we do that? Exactly the way that we just shared. Intimacy with the Lord, guarding what we put in our mind and how we allow the Word of God to get into us instead of other things, and let Him be our guide, let His Word lead us and guide us, and being Christ-like, that's how we put on Christ each day. But it's something that we have to be very intentional about. If we're not intentional about it and realize that this is something we do every day and not just something we do, you know, on Sunday for 2-3 hours while we go to church and try to look good and act good and all that.
Don't forget Wednesday.
It's not about that. It's about a lifestyle of intimacy with the Lord and walking in Christ each day.
Amen.
And then Leslie, since she's not up here with us, but we wrote hers down, one of the things that she thought was really important is to help us guard our marriage and not give place to the enemy is, and this is huge in today's society, she said, don't make close, secret relationships with people of the opposite sex. And that's huge because we all know, maybe from our own life, but lives of those that we know, friends, that are now divorced, it all started with inappropriate communication with people of the opposite sex, whether it be through our business, our job, you know, in the workplace, whether it be through email, through texting, through private messaging, through Snapchat, whatever, all the different ways that we have today. And we open that door. And just like, you know, myself and Leslie, we try to, like, I'm not going to form a relationship with some woman anywhere, whether it's through work, through ministry, through whatever other means. I'm not going to form a relationship with some woman that she doesn't even know. It's a secret.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we kind of got this little relationship going over here, and we chat and we talk a lot, but my wife don't even know who this lady is.
Yeah.
And vice versa. That's just something that, you know, it's just kind of a given that we both know that we must do, especially in today's technology-driven world, that we cannot open that door of opportunity. Women send me a private message sometimes as a pastor. They say, hey, pastor, you know, pray for us. Me and my husband are going through this, or I'm really struggling in my marriage or whatnot. I immediately show that to my wife, and I forward it to her, or I'll just say, hey, can you get back with, you know, this person? They're wanting prayer about their marriage, and they're wanting to talk a little bit about their marriage situation. I let Leslie take that, and vice versa. You know, if she were to get a message like that from a guy, she's going to give that to me immediately, and we're both going to pray about it and know about it.
And that's such, especially that example, that's such an emotional, confusing time when you're having issues in the marriage that, you know, if you bring the wrong person into that situation, you're going to have somebody who's going to be more like a predator.
Shark in the water.
Yeah. Who smells the blood in the water.
Absolutely.
And you know, that's going to be prime time for them to come in and the enemy just, you know, walk all over that. So that's such good, that's amazing, wise thinking on Leslie's part to just guard that, and especially with all the secretive ways that we can engage in chit chat and relationships and sending each other stuff back and forth, and just be so careful what you allow. It's not a matter of, you know, someone controlling someone else, but it's more a matter of, hey, I'm submitting to God.
Exactly.
And, you know, though I know I could probably have this app or whatever and not do anything inappropriate, there's a door there. And do I really need this thing in my life bad enough to even have the possibility? You know what I mean?
Amen.
So it's just, man, we went, you know, all these years without this stuff. I'm sure we'll survive. You know what I mean? My marriage is more important than any of that.
Absolutely. So, how much time we got?
Less than
5 minutes?
Woo. Lord have mercy.
It flew away from us today. So, I'm just going to close with this, guys, because, you know, if there's anybody out there listening today, and maybe you're just in a place that you don't really even know the Lord Jesus Christ. You've never surrendered your life to Him. And maybe like they mentioned earlier, you know, you might know about God. You may have even gone to church. You may have, you know, got baptized when you were young or whatever. And you basically believe in God. But you've never really surrendered your life to Jesus. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
All that other stuff is not going to bring us into a intimate relationship with Christ. It's not going to get us into heaven. It's not really what Jesus talked about when he said, you must be born again. That's a, what he's talking about there is a total and complete surrender. And he said it, you know, in several other places. Jesus himself said through the New Testament, through the Gospels, that he said, if anybody desires to come after me, they're going to, number one thing is they're going to have to deny themselves. They've got to lay their life down in order to find true life.
Yeah.
And that's what we're talking about today. So we're going to have a moment here that we're going to pray, and we're just going to surrender our lives, everything that we are, everything that we have, even all of our pain, all the junk where people have hurt us, all the different, whatever we've endured, you know, the abuse, the neglect, the different traumatic events that we've been through, betrayal, whatever it may be. We're going to surrender all that to Jesus today and just invite him in. So I'm just going to do that now. You know, there's a couple of scriptures that talk about God's forgiveness. You know, none of us deserve his forgiveness, but it says in Romans 5:8 that he demonstrated or proved his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We didn't deserve it. We didn't. There's nothing we could do to earn it, but he chose to forgive us. He chose to love us enough to die in our place and lay his life down for us and demonstrate his love. So I just want to encourage you to receive that today and then turn right around and say, you know what? I didn't deserve it, but that's what Jesus did for me. And who am I to try to hold somebody else guilty for their sin against me? I mean, just like Jesus prayed this, you know, in the what we call the Lord's Prayer. And he said, pray, you know, for those who have trespassed against us, we're going to forgive them just the way we've been forgiven. Mm-hmm. In Matthew, he said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. So there's forgiveness available today to you and to those who, you know, may have done you wrong.
Yeah.
So let's just pray that prayer right now before we close out. Father God, we just call upon you today. And we choose to put our faith in Jesus. Jesus, we believe that you died on the cross for our sins. We believe that you rose again on the third day. We believe that you're alive today, and we believe your word. If anybody's willing to confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And Lord, we're just crying out to you today in that way, and we're saying, Lord, we believe. And we are asking you today, Jesus, to come into our heart by your Holy Spirit, cleanse us of all sin. Lord God, restore us back into relationship with you today. We do our part in surrender. And lay everything down at your feet today. Lord, all of our past, all of our pain, those who have wronged us, Lord, we surrender all that to you today in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just receive your forgiveness today of all of our sin. And we also, in turn, Lord, say today that we forgive those who have wronged us. We choose, we make a choice today to forgive those who have wronged us in the same way you forgave us. Lord, and we receive your freedom today from all of that junk. And Lord, we just thank you today for showing us who you created us to be, showing us our true identity, showing us our true value in Christ, showing us your plan and your purpose for our life today. In Jesus' mighty name. Well, we're about to lose our Blog Talk Radio listeners here in just a few seconds, so we want to say goodbye to you all. Thank you for joining us today. We will see you guys, God willing, next Friday. And for our Facebook friends, just another minute or two with you guys. I want to encourage you all, those who are in the DFW area, to join us at Crosswalk Church in Haltom City. A couple events that are coming up. First of all, tomorrow, we're going to be doing a community outreach, kind of a fall festival event. For, you know, we'll have free food, bounce houses for the kiddos, games, prizes, candy, and some really nice giveaways. I think we're doing a 50-inch flat-screen TV. We're doing a couple of nice brand-new bikes for the kiddos. Excuse me. And we're also doing some little scooters and things like that that we'll be giving away. And some bags of groceries while they last. We'll be giving those out as well. And check us out on Facebook for all the details. But I can tell you it'll be from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Sandy Oaks Park in Haltom City. The address is 5000 Bernice Street in Haltom City. Again, that's 5000 Bernice Street in Haltom City. Starts at 11 a.m. and we'll be there for 2 or 3 hours, and also just, you know, loving on people. And we'll even have a prayer table for those who need prayer or desire prayer. We'll be praying with folks. Also, mark this date down. It's a pretty easy one because it falls on Halloween, but we're not celebrating Halloween, but it's on the same night as Thursday, October 31st. We will be having a night of worship and prayer at Crosswalk Church. We're located at 2601 Thomas Road in Haltom City, and we'll be there from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. That's Thursday night, October the 31st. All of our friends and family are invited here in the DFW Metroplex. If you're looking for a place that you just want to seek God, you want to pray and intercede for our city and just have a night of worship, we'll be doing that on that night on Halloween, 7 to 9 p.m. at Crosswalk Church. Also this Sunday, if you can join us, 8:30 a.m. prayer, 9 a.m. Bible class, and 10:30 a.m. worship. We'd love to have you join us at Crosswalk Church for just a time of worship and fellowship and building godly relationships and lifting each other up and just celebrating what God has done in our lives. You know, we come on this program each week basically for that reason, to lift up the name of Jesus, to celebrate his goodness, and encourage our listeners and those that are watching in the things of God, and just share the testimonies of God's faithfulness, his salvation, his healing, his restoration in our lives. So God bless you all. Thank you all for tuning in, and maybe just a final minute or farewell. Anything you guys want to say?
I just hope that what Jesus did for us, you understand that sharing a testimony, that there's power in that, and that no matter where you're at in your marriage or your relationship, or if you're struggling with unforgiveness, he can take it all right now, just like that.
Amen.
So just run to him, surrender. It's worth it. You got anything? Nothing?
No. All right. And by the way, guys, one last note. If you're more in the on the Fort Worth side of things here in the DFW area, not Fort Worth necessarily, but Pantego area, I want to encourage you to come worship at the House of Glory, which is where we're at now. We're just in one of the rooms here, but in the back part of our complex here is the House of Glory Church. That's just recently kicked off, I don't know, maybe a month ago now, with Pastor Marlo Mosey and her team. They're at 2706 West Park Road Drive in Pantego, Texas. That's kind of a southwest Arlington area, if you're not familiar with that, Pantego. And it's called the House of Glory. So if you're on this area of town, on this side of town, come join them. Sunday morning. I don't have the time in front of me, But you can check them out on Facebook, The House of Glory. And Sunday mornings. Hey, what time's y'all's worship on Sunday morning? 10 o'clock, 10 a.m., guys. So if y'all can join them, come be a part of that too. God bless you guys. We love y'all. And I'm just going to close with I just want to pray for you guys, all those that are watching right now. Hey, Brother Paul, God bless you, brother. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that right now, wherever people are at and whatever they're facing, Lord, we know that you are with them. We know, Lord, that you're just as close as their breath, Lord, of calling out to you today. So, Lord, as they call on you, Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that they would encounter your love. They will encounter your power, your presence in their life today. And, Lord, we just stand in agreement with them for healing in their physical bodies, a restoration in their marriage relationships. Lord, just open doors of opportunity in maybe they need a job today, Lord, or just a breakthrough in their finances. Father, we are believing you today that whatever they need, Lord, that you would manifest your goodness today as they trust in you. Father, we thank you that you watch over your word to perform it. And Lord, that it would be in their lives today according to your plan, your purposes, and your will. And that every work of the enemy be broken off of their life today. Lord, we just declare that word today. We stand in agreement with you, Father, and we thank you today for your love and your mercy and your goodness in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
God bless you guys. God willing, we will see you back here next Friday on God Encounters. And we don't have a topic picked out yet, but we'll see what the Lord gives us. I know it'll be good because it's going to be his word and it's going to be his heart. So love you guys. Y'all have a blessed weekend. Bye-bye. I'm trying to go off, guys. I'm not sure if it's allowing me to. There we go. Midas touch. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Good word, guys. Appreciate it.
You just hit post on your timeline?
Yeah, I just hit post. You're great. Do yourself.
Oh, good. Oh, it's on the back. Sunday, 10 a.m.
The House of Glory.